Hello, and welcome back to the Moms Get It Done podcast. I'm Leslie Osborne, and today I have one of my favorite people with us. Her name is Judy Casanova. Judy and I met through it's a fitness squad, but it really is so much more than that. It's called the Turn Up Squad, and you'll hear me talk about this a lot in my podcast and on my show. And actually, the CEO and the creator is going to be on the show in a couple weeks, but Judy and I met about 2.5 years ago through this squad. And one of the things that I really noticed about her right away was she was one of these women. So she's a New Yorker, and I lived in New York for like 15 years. And I felt like a very true New Yorker. Like I loved who I was. And she's very like a strong, passionate woman. But she also does this thing where everything that she does, she goes like after it, like with veracity, like she just goes after it, she does it. So when we started to have challenges and do stuff like that, like Judy was showing up every day, she was digging into the stuff. Like we started to do self-development, which I had never done before, and Judy just kind of, she shined. Like she was like this woman that was there, and we really wanted to all see what she was doing, and we wanted to do it too. And so I've always loved her energy and everything that she brought to the world. So she is a New Yorker, and she's an executive assistant for a CEO. She's been married 33 years, and she has 2 children. Her son is 30, and her daughter is 22, and she's working on her master's degree, which is amazing. One of the things that Judy and I both share is we have this big passion for dance fitness. She's certified in Zumba and Turn Up, just like I am, which is great. And then she started this group called Journaling Joggernaut because that's what people think of her as, because she really learns to work through hard situations and habits through her writing. So for us, I think for me to learn how to do that was a big deal. And so I really wanted to bring her on and just really go through, like, how did she get started with this? Like, how do you get started? Like, how do we all get started doing this? Because it's important, you know? So Judy, thank you so much for being here. Hi.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. So like I said before, I love that you attack things with, you know, everything you have. You know, so did you start to do journaling and gratitude thinking and stuff like that, like before I knew you? Was that something you were always doing?
Absolutely not. These are all new learned habits through our Turn Up community, through all the challenges that we were given, and all the tools and snippets we kind of gathered along the way.
Yeah.
That's where I learned.
Yeah. So when the squad started putting out things like, let's learn to meditate and start writing things down, like, what was your thought? Like, what, did you want to do it?
No, absolutely not.
I didn't either.
I hated the thought of sitting still and being quiet. I thought this was a dancing game, you know? I thought we were supposed to be jumping around, not sitting quietly and shutting our minds and all of that. Mm-hmm. But with that, wow, we really learned these amazing habits that absolutely have changed me.
So how did you start? Like, what was the, how did you really get into it?
I really got into it when we started practicing yoga, mm-hmm. with Tansy. Mm-hmm. And it was tough for me. It was really hard. So I decided to find shorter yoga sessions. And I would disciplinely do them first thing in the morning before work, because I found that it helped me center.
Okay.
I would do my yoga. I would meditate for 10 minutes. I would read for 10 minutes. I would journal. And all of this sort of became this, I don't want to say magical, but this life-changing habit for me.
How do you feel like it changed you? Like, how did you feel differently?
A great sense of peace. Something that was foreign to me. I was always the dreader, the fearer, the, you know, all this muckery that goes in your head, that needed to be tamed, that needed to, you know, sort of reined into some peaceful little circle. And I've been able to do that.
And it almost sounds like me, like you didn't even know that you needed it.
No, absolutely.
I didn't know. In fact, I'm not even as good at it as you are, which I want to be after this conversation. But I mean, it's something that you don't even think that you know that you need, like that would improve so much, right?
Right. Or even that in the habits that you create for yourself that would inspire the next person.
Oh, of course.
Gosh, you know, I'm doing this and look at, I can sit and, you know, go inward. Yeah. And actually like what I see and actually be okay with all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about The Miracle Morning.
So The Miracle Morning is a book by Hal Elrod. Sorry, I'm butchering the author's name. Mm-hmm. And in it, he had a terrible accident and was in really bad shape, but he realized he wanted to live more of his life. And he figured by creating early habits, he'd have more to do within the day. So his concept is savers. So you meditate, you journal, you read, you visualize, you affirm, and then of course fitness. And he has it broken down to half an hour every morning.
So all of this you can do in 30 minutes?
Correct. Okay. That's the concept. I've now taken that as many as 3 hours sometimes, mm-hmm. because I could meditate longer, my yoga's longer, my journaling is longer. I don't have to sit 10 minutes, though I could.
Yeah.
At times I could just move my body for 10 minutes and I would be okay.
Yeah.
But the habit became a must. You know, I needed it desperately.
I talk to a lot of people that put themselves first in the morning. And I know a lot of my listeners are busy moms and they're thinking, how the heck am I going to do that? But I have gotten up 30 minutes before my kids. And when I'm working on my business, I'll get up an hour before them and I'll work on that. So there is the time and it is there. You have to create it. And it's hard to create it and it's worth it. And I think that, you know, even if it's something, and I know the idea is to do it every day, you know, even if you miss a day because something crazy happens with your small children, which happens to me, you know, I think that it's so valuable and putting this part of you out there for yourself. I mean, just having that kind of attention on yourself. Like, I know that my listeners are mostly moms. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's totally possible. And you're really taking care of yourself first, which I really love. So one of the things that scared me in the beginning of Turn Up was meditation. Mm-hmm. I'm high strung. I'm type A. I was a New Yorker for 15 years. I literally have a company called Moms Get It Done. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't sit and breathe. And like, it was very scary to me. Like, how about you? How was it for you?
It was terrible. I didn't want to do it. As a New Yorker, it was the furthest thing for me to want to do.
Yeah.
But slowly, you can actually slow down enough to listen to your inner voice and find peace there. And it doesn't have to be for hours and hours. It's a little snippet.
Yeah.
And breathing, learn to breathe, you know, into relaxation is so powerful.
Yeah.
I know the busy moms think that they can't get it in, but it doesn't all have to be done before the family wakes up. So you miss, let's say you miss journaling or you miss some part of the ritual of the morning. the kids nap, you know?
Or they go to school.
Or they go to school, exactly. Or right before bed, you know? Write reflections of the beautiful things that happen to you in the day.
Yeah, yeah. I think you said you listened to somebody. His name is Travis Elliott.
He is a yoga instructor.
Oh, okay.
But he also does meditation.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And he, during his sessions, he makes sure to tell the participant to breathe. And so I learned to breathe. And that in itself was amazing. You know, I could breathe through chaos.
Yeah.
Recently at Thanksgiving, I was high strung, according to my daughter, and my energy was all over the place.
Yeah.
And I said to her, okay, give me a moment. And I went and I did my breathing exercises and came back collected.
Did she notice the difference?
Yeah, she did. Absolutely.
Good.
It was great.
It really is so nice to be able to recenter. I often think, even though I've been doing it a long time now, or not a long time, but a couple of years now, and it's a long time for me. Even though I still feel like maybe I'm not doing it right, maybe I'm bad at this. And then I'm like, well, maybe I am doing it right. And then I start breathing and it's really good. I think that the breathing through the yoga is so amazing. And it's always been really hard for me. Like, I've never really like dug into that, but I could see how valuable that is. And I think that, you know, we talk about stuff like this and, you know, you're like me, you're like, I want to dance. I want to jump up and down. I want to do all the things. Like, I don't want to slow down and breathe, but it's so valuable and it feels so good. And I think that, you know, I have a friend that's a yoga instructor in New Jersey, actually. And she, when I take her classes, it's all about the breathing. And I feel like for some reason, when I'm in that one space, like that's when I'm allowed to breathe. Mm. Like not when I'm running around with my kids. But it's not true. Like that's not real. Like I'm allowed to like sit down and breathe while there's children in the house. Like, so I think that like moms especially need to like give, and women need to give themselves like permission to have this peace. And you know, I'm a busy mom, I'm a New Yorker, I am busy, I have things going on, but like, yes, I can sit and breathe and have inner peace also. Okay. Like, you don't have to be living in the jungle or wherever people have inner
peace. I actually would mantra and breathe on the subway.
Oh, you know? That sounds good.
Yeah, and it kept me sane. It just re-centered everything.
Yeah. Because it's a tough environment. I mean, and now with COVID, we're in a tough environment. Now we're alone.
Yeah.
Like now, you know, we finally were figured out how to navigate in this world of millions of people, and now they're not there. So now we have to re-center again, and that's huge. So I've posted about a few of these and I've talked about this on some of my lives and stuff, but you actually put together a gratitude challenge for November, and I did it. Actually, I did it with my kids too. The family portion was really fun for us. So what Judy did was she put together, it's called Being Grateful is an Inside Job. Mm-hmm. And you write something every day. There's like a journal prompt every day about being grateful. And about gratitude. And I wrote it every single day. I sat down every single morning and I wrote it. Even if I like couldn't and I didn't have time, I was like, no, I'm going to sit. I have coffee. I'm going to do it. And also what I did with my children was we took a jar, like a grateful jar. I think there were some crafts that went along with yours, but we had a jar. And at each person in our family, every single day of November would write down one thing they were grateful for. And then they put it in the jar. And then on Thanksgiving, when the challenge was over, we sat with our entire family and we read all of them. It was so sweet. They were like, I was saying things like sweatpants and like TV and my children. Obviously, we wrote our family and stuff like that. My son wrote that he was grateful for himself 3 times.
Oh, sweet.
For himself. He's 4 and a half. I'm like, Logan, did you write your name 3 times? He's like, yeah, I was grateful for myself.
That is the sweetest thing.
It really is. So how did you do this? Like, how did you think of this?
Tansy came, Tansy, our CEO of Turnip, said, I'd like for you to put something together. I'm not sure what, you know, around gratitude, what, you know, put something together. So I love crafting. I love journaling. So I put together the journal, the questions I plucked from everywhere. Some were done by my, you know, created by me. Mm-hmm. And the arts and crafts portion was my favorite. Here's my jar. And I had created all the different cards. And my jar was, I love XYZ about myself. And then while I have you here, I have my tree. And this is my grapefruit tree.
Yes, it's beautiful. I've seen so many pictures of it.
And I loved it.
I love it.
I am grateful for my job. I am grateful for my comfy bed. I'm grateful for working from home. I'm grateful for my creativity and so on like that.
I'm also very grateful for your creativity. This was good. This was good. My favorite part, I did love doing the grateful jar. I think that this is something we'll do every year now. I think that they loved it. We loved it. My parents were here when we read them all, and some of them were so touching, and a lot of them were funny, and like, you know, my husband wrote some hilarious things that I was like, what? But whatever, he's grateful for socks, and he's grateful for, you know, warm cocoa and like whatever. But you are like, you know, I think that one of the things we talked about before was, you said that one of your really favorite parts was when you talk about things that are grateful, you're grateful for that are surrounding you, like in the actual place that you are, which right now is so important because we are all in the same spot and we have been for like months. So when you said, I looked around and I was like, hey, I'm grateful for the fridge. Like I have a fridge that keeps my food cold and I can just walk over there and grab food. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. You know, like if you've been in other natural disasters, tragedies, things like this, sometimes that's not a thing. Like you don't have that. Like that's a big deal. Like I'm grateful for my comfy chair and my comfy bed and heat in my house. Mm-hmm. Things we take for granted every day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I loved that that was one of yours because it's so important to realize the gifts that we've given ourselves and that we have, right? Yeah. So for me, the worst and the best part were kind of the same. I mean, I love the grateful jar and I think I'm definitely doing it like every year. But the one that was really the hardest for me was on November 11th, we had to write about a wrong choice that you made, but you learned a lesson and you're grateful to have experienced it. So I'm actually not going to tell you what mine is because I'm working through it, but it took me so long to write it that I knew that it was something. And I had so much shame around a choice I had made that I knew it was something I had to work on. And I've been working on it ever since.
That's powerful.
And it was big. Like I never would have realized that there was something in my life that was so powerful without being grateful for the outcome, right? So now I'm even more grateful that I recognize this piece that was missing for me. So thank you for that. But also it came out of writing about being grateful for the outcome, mm-hmm. not ashamed of the choice, right? Mm-hmm. So I tried to reframe it. And I think that gratitude thinking and a lot of the things that you say about that is exactly powerful because of that reason.
Right? And there's success in that, you know, like being grateful. Okay. It's an exercise. It's a muscle. You have to do it often. I wasn't grateful for the longest time, but the more that I practiced it, I felt more success. You know, the more I practice it, I'm like, wow, I'm accomplishing XYZ. Or wow, I can state, hey, I need XYZ from you. Or not liking this or that.
Yeah.
It became easier.
Yeah. It is. It's hard to be grateful sometimes, especially when big things happen in the world, mm-hmm. you know, COVID, all of the things that have happened since then. I think that, you know, being able to be grateful for anything and start there is good. Like, it's really, I think the world needs it right now. I think moms need it. I think women need it. I think men need it. I think everybody needs it. Okay. You know, it's hard to be grateful when your kid is virtual school and you're running around trying to work and doing the things. And I know that so many of us are doing that. So people are home. They don't have anybody with them. You know, my uncle's up north. He's literally like by himself all the time. Like, it's weird. Like, it's not our normal thing. So to be able to pick those things out, I think is awesome. So I also want to talk about, so I'm a part of Judy's journaling Facebook group. So tell me about it. Like, why did you start it? Like, what do we do there?
Yes, the Journaling Juggernaut also started with the Turn Up Squad. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I could actually write and I could actually express myself, sometimes sounding poetically. Cool. And the more that feedback that I got from the squad, acknowledging that my writing actually was beautiful, I'm like, well, I love journaling. I love writing. I want a place where I can just write all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the Juggernaut, Journaling Juggernaut started. And the Juggernaut, the word itself also came from the Turn Up Squad.
I remember.
Because they asked us, you know, what something that describes the turn up, and juggernaut was the word for me.
It was.
And it's a force, you know, I'll never forget. Tansy's like, yeah, but do you know what it means? And I was like, yeah, it's a force, you know, this booming thing, you know, that happens.
That's and definitely you.
It's me.
It is.
And it's just so beautiful. At the same time, you know, to pick people's brains where they didn't think of this or that. And allowing them to pour their hearts out is also important. You know, it's a place to come and just sort of share.
And not just that, I think that some of the things that you post and some of the things, like you said, is like to get people thinking about maybe something you're not thinking about, right? Like the gratitude thing or the... Mm-hmm. There's been things that you've posted, and sometimes I don't even comment on them. Sometimes I'm just thinking about them for like half an hour, but it's really powerful to have somebody say, you know, and I mean, I keep going back to the grateful thing because I loved it so much, but you know, to have somebody say, you know, give you a prompt to like think about parts of your life. I mean, some of us are on so much autopilot, especially mm-hmm. busy people and people like us who are successful humans, you know, we kind of just like breeze past these. And I think that the group is really great because it kind of just takes you into this other thought process, which I like a lot. So I will definitely be putting the link to that in the show notes and the link to the Miracle Morning and the Travis Elliott that we talked about into there. So definitely check out Judy and the group and, you know, get your hands on some of this stuff. Like, dig in. Like, you'd be surprised at how amazing it is to really get to that. And I think that Judy is one of my favorite people to go for this. So thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. I'll see you in the squad.
Sounds great. Take good care.
You too. Mm-hmm.
Here are some takeaways from the episode. Gratitude, yoga, and breathing are the things that will change you. Try out the Miracle Morning. It's a short morning routine. You read for 10 minutes, do yoga for 10 minutes, and do gratitude or journaling for 10 minutes. Make sure to create time for yourself. Early in the morning, while the kids are napping or at school, put it in your calendar and make it a habit. Check out the Gratitude Challenge. The link is in the episode show notes. Also, practice gratitude daily. Write it down. Look at it. It'll make a difference. All of the things that we talked about are linked in the show notes, so make sure you check those out. Also, join the free Facebook group, Moms Get It Done, for all the tips and tricks. We can do it all together.